Welcome to EdTech in 10. I'm Laura Carr. For those of you that are regular listeners, thank you for your patience, but I'm finally back. I realized that I just needed to take a step back because it was just a little too much trying to juggle school and taking care of my daughter and everything that went along with it, because I was finishing my final two grad school courses and they were kind of a beating. But the good news is I'm 100% done with everything. So it has been a long 3-year journey. When I started, I was transitioning out of the classroom into being an ed tech trainer. So it was kind of a fresh start all the way around. And it ended up turning into a 3-year journey that not only included that new job, but also a new baby, a new house, and all the challenges that went along with that. My original plan was to finish quickly because they said, oh yeah, you can finish in like 14 months. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. But I realized I had bitten off way more than I could chew by trying to take multiple classes at once. I wanted to be able to have a life and not lose my sanity, so I had to slow down a little bit. And that was even back before I had the baby. And once she came along, things definitely slowed down. I could really only take one class at a time. But even so, other than taking the summer semester off to give birth to her and recover, I kept going. Because progress was progress, even if it was just one class at a time. And I finally made it, and it is the best feeling. My brain still hasn't quite adjusted, because now anytime I have a free moment, my brain's going like, you should be doing homework, you should be working. And then it kind of realizes, oh, wait, no you don't. And I'm like, oh, I should do something productive, I should maybe cook some food, or clean the house, or something. But I just end up playing with my daughter, and that really is fun for me, so I'm not going to complain about that. So thanks for your patience. Hopefully now I'll be able to spend a little more time devoted to this. That is the goal, both the podcast and the blog, so you'll be hearing more from me. So over the summer, I had the opportunity to present two different sessions at the Region 11 Educational Service Center for their Prime event, their digital learning event. One session was about how school planners don't work and we need to find some alternatives, which you've already heard me rant about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back one of the previous episodes. I interview some kids and we talk about why they don't use school planners and what we can do instead. But the second session I did is what I'd like to talk about today, and that's upcycling for your classroom and your makerspace or your STEAM lab. So basically, upcycling is a lot like recycling. But with recycling, you're just, okay, I'm going to take these plastic containers or glass containers and I'm just going to, you know, throw them in the recycling bin and somebody else will reuse them somehow. When you upcycle, you're taking something and you're reusing it in a way that makes it even better than it was when it started. So you can kind of think about, even if it's something like, I have this old basketball that I was going to get rid of, I can't really use it to play anymore. Cut it in half, fill it with some dirt, you can use it as a planter. Or you can take old magazines and some cardboard and make a frame out of it for some pictures. So upcycling is all about reusing versus just like, I'm just going to throw it in the recycle bin. So why is this relevant to you as educators? Well, let's face it, if you're in education, you're probably broke. I've been seeing all of these, you know, clear the list movements online, and it's great that, you know, teachers and other members of the community are supporting each other and helping teachers to kind of clear their school supply lists, but it's a little sad at the same time that we have to resort to that as educators, that we don't have the money given to us to buy what we need. That's my two cents worth. I think it's great that we have that option, but I feel like the fact that we even have to do this at all should send a message to the people who are in charge. Be like, hey, you need to fund us more. But anyway, moving on. We're broke. We need supplies. And since we're educators, we don't have the money for those supplies. So you go spend your own money, which you probably don't have, to go buy some of the supplies anyway. Or you do without. Or you beg, borrow, and steal. So with upcycling, you can get those supplies for your classroom for free. And on top of that, something that I found really interesting that I didn't know is that China used to import almost half of the world's recycling. And two-thirds of that is America's. Two-thirds of America's recycling went to China. But that came to a stop at the end of 2017. And as a result of that, some cities are stopping their recycling programs altogether. And a lot of our recycling is now just ending up in landfills. And what really kind of blew my mind was that because of oil prices and how things fluctuate, right now it's cheaper to make new plastic than it is to actually recycle used plastic. So that's why things that we're recycling are just going into the landfills, because it's just cheaper to make new stuff than reuse it. Upcycling is not necessarily going to fix this problem, I get that, but just kind of giving our students ideas on ways that, you know, we don't necessarily have to throw everything out and start fresh. You can reuse new things. I think it's just a good idea of just something to impart to them in general, because I think that's probably going to be the way that we need to go in the future, because at a certain point we're going to run out of space for all these landfills. Things that you need to take into account when you start this endeavor is, one, how much storage space do you have? Are we talking, this is just something you're going to do in your classroom? Do you have a library, a makerspace, or a STEAM lab, and maybe you've got some extra space? Because that's going to influence the kind of size and shape of items you're going to collect. If you have very small shelf space, you're going to need to collect very small items. You may not be able to have pounds and pounds of cardboard. And you also need to take into account, is this something where I'm going to have all the upcycled supplies out and available for the kids to use at all times? Or am I going to need to store them away and then drag them out for the kids to use them? Because again, that's going to influence the size and weight and just types of materials in general that you collect. And on that note, things that you could collect would be plastic containers, to-go containers, plastic bottles, egg cartons, glass bottles, cardboard, scrap fabric, old blue jeans, old craft supplies, and cardboard tubes from like paper towels and toilet paper. It's just kind of up to you based on the age of your kids, what space you have, and just what you think that they'll be able to use. But something that's really important to remember is to specify that these things have to be clean, because a lot of our plastic products come in contact with food. So you don't want your kids bringing in stuff with like nasty food still on it. We found out the hard way in my house, because I was collecting a lot of upcycle supplies for this presentation for our librarians, that if you do not rinse out milk cartons well and then leave the caps off for them to air dry, they will smell like death, and it is indescribable. So those are discussions to have with your kids to make sure that what they're bringing into you is not going to stink up your classroom. And it's also really good to get the community involved. Not only educate the kids in your school, but also the parents. Reach out to the local businesses and get the school excited. I mean, one of the things I've done in my building where I work, which is not a school, is I have a poster, one upstairs and one downstairs by the main entrances, with a little collection box underneath saying like, hey, our makerspaces need your supplies, and I give a list of examples. Cardboard, craft supplies, plastic containers, and there's something in there at least once a week that somebody's thought to bring by, and I've been able to distribute those to the librarians and the kids, and it's been really great. The only issue I had was cardboard. There was so much cardboard that I finally had to say, okay, I don't need any more. I would caution you on cardboard, because it is amazing, it is versatile, but it does take up space very quickly. So take into account, where the heck are you going to put it all? And also remember that the sturdier it is, the harder it is to cut. So depending on the ages of your students and how much help they're going to need, you might want to limit the type of cardboard you collect to the thinner kind, maybe like cereal boxes versus big sturdy moving boxes. If you go on Amazon and look around, they have different types of cardboard scissors and saws for doing that. But again, just kind of take into account the age of your kiddos and what it is that they can handle and how much responsibility you want to have. I know it may be hard to kind of visualize how could I use this in my class? What can I do? And the librarians in my district told me they pretty much had the same concerns. And it wasn't until I got them all together and I showed them the Pinterest board that I made that had all the different pins with different ideas of craft projects and how you could use the upcycled things where it finally clicked and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, this does make sense. I could totally use this. So that's what I'm going to do for you. The link to my Pinterest page will be in the show notes, but you can also go to pinterest.com/edtechin10, and I have a board on there called Makerspace that you can check out, and that has all sorts of different upcycle activities and things for your Makerspace, so you can get some visuals and some concrete ideas for actually implementing this. And in that Pinterest board is also that free guide of how to make your Makerspace, which also has some really good ideas if you're still getting started with your Makerspace or your STEAM Lab idea. So go ahead and check that out and see if you can find at least one thing that you might like to try with your kiddos. Figure out what it is that you need to collect from them, how you're going to do it, and give it a try. And I'd love to see what you end up doing with your upcycled supplies. Please tweet me pictures. You can tweet me at Laura B. Carr. Use the hashtag EdTechIn10. And I'd love to see what you do and share that with anybody else that wants to learn, because we're all learning from each other. And any free ideas we can get, I think, is a good thing. So, once again, thanks for giving this a listen. Thanks for hanging in there with me as I got through this last couple of months of craziness. And I look forward to hearing from you. And let me know if there's any questions or anything I can do for you. Be sure to check out the blog, edtechin10.com, because I'll be posting new and exciting things up there as well. And if you're getting ready to go back to school this next week, Godspeed. God bless. I hope you have a wonderful year, and I'll talk to you soon.